City Council will come to order, and the clerk will call a roll.
Mr. Marola?
Here.
Mr. Corley?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Gavin?
Here.
Mr. Stroud?
Here.
Councilwoman Travis, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Thank you. If everybody could be seated. Executive communications is first on the list, and there's no executive communications. General communications, and I had made this announcement a moment ago, but we had scheduled a presentation for a five-year financial projection. A number of the council members and some people in the community had asked that we continue to September, give them an opportunity to review the presentation, ask questions. So I'll just postpone that to the next meeting so we can get through this meeting. I was pleased at our last meeting that we were able to get through and resolve the issues regarding the school department. That was a long process that started last year after we passed the budget and continued all the way till the spring and ending in, I guess, resolutions from the council to the school committee and vice versa. It's great to post surpluses. Would have been even better if we were privy to that information in May when we voted on the budget, so we didn't have to go through June and July. I was also pleased that the school committee reduced their ask from around 8.2 or 8.3 million down to 3.9. That was significant also. So I thank everybody for their patience, and hopefully repeat what happened this year for next year. With that said, are there any other general communications from council members? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two things. After general communications, on behalf of the Warwick City Council, yourself and the administrator, I'd ask that respectfully we give a moment of silence for Mr. Nick Carty. As you know, one of the three brothers, he passed this past month, and a great supporter of all Rhode Island and New England charities, especially one of the big sponsors and supporters of the military lounge at TF Green Airport. So I do respectfully ask that. Lastly, I do have to, on record, I have to say this. Recently, this council and the has supported and voted for a change in a traffic pattern at Pavilion and Evergreen. It got a lot of media attention. However, I do have to say something because I take it a little, I feel like I have to defend the people that were involved in the decision, because in a local newspaper it was posted that Evergreen and Pavilion Avenue's businesses along Evergreen and Pavilion Avenues have raised concern about the impact the restrictions would have, but to no avail. I do know that when we were at the Warwick Police Community Room, business owners came out, and I think Councilman Lattiser did a wonderful question and answer that answered a lot of their concerns. Not his ward, that's my ward. However, he took the time to drive to the ward, and I can't thank you enough for that, Councilman, to speak to the business owners. I can tell you that the Warwick Police Department and the Traffic Division and the officer attached to that, as well as the leadership, personally went house to house and to business, leaving their card and everyone. I can tell you that I personally spoke to the business owners, and the city is being very proactive on accommodating and working with these businesses to the change of pet traffic. It started on it started as a discussion of a dead end. Because of the discussions with the businesses, because of the time that the DPW employees, the city council members, the administration, myself, the police department, because of those discussions, we have what we have now, which is an island that blocks a left turn, but opened up Evergreen and keeps it two-way. That island is disappearing, so it'll have full access to Airport Road. Because of the hard work that everyone involved and the time everyone took. So I found that statement in the local paper to be disingenuous and quite honestly dishonest. It was a big insult to all the work that everyone had put into for the last 2 years. And if I'll end on this, Mr. President, I thank you for giving me the time to bring this up. I have received nothing but positive phone calls from the people in the community. They really wanted this. This is something that they're willing to do. Their attitude is people have to drive around an airport. Why? It's not an inconvenience to have to go on one particular street and up a different street and not cut through that one particular street. The community is 100% for it. They appreciate it. And lastly, the police have been phenomenal in giving warnings and giving people heads up. So this was something that was not done carelessly. This was 2 years of planning. And to see something said like that, where it made it look like we just totally brushed off the local businesses, is completely unheard of. So thank you for the time to speak on that, and thank you.
So we'll recognize a moment of silence, and by way of reference, the other Mr. Carty here, that was here tonight from Carty Construction, that was his first cousin that had passed away. So we'll take a moment of silence in remembrance of Mr. Carty and all the good deeds that he had done for this community. Thank you. Councilman Ricks, I know that you had told me at the break that Representative Shanley had a death in his family. If you could make an announcement and ask for a moment of silence on that issue also.
Requesting a moment of silence for Paul Shanley, the father of State Representative Evan Shanley.
And as we all know, Mr. Shanley was a member of the Walk Police Department and also, I believe, worked at Brown University running their public safety department for many years and raised his family and Evan in the Cohasset neighborhood and will be sorely missed. So if we could have a moment of silence for Officer Shanley. Thank you. Are there any other announcements of appointments? I was going to remind people, and I'll have the dates, but the St. Gregory Fair is also coming up in September. If people want to mark that down in their calendar, that's always a great time for the community with rides and games and a big event in the Cohasset area that only happens once every other year. With that said, the presentation, as I've already announced by Markham, the five-year plan will be continued to the next meeting, and we'll move into quarterly reports, and that's Dan O'Rourke with the Water Department.
Good evening, Council President. Dan O'Rourke from the Water Department, Water Division. Pleased to present the quarterly report that was prepared for the last meeting, but because of obviously the time of the night that it was put off for another month. It was prepared on June 28, 2019. It's rather brief, but I'd be happy to entertain any questions regarding the report or anything else pertaining to water issues.
Councilman Lattiser.
Good evening, Dan.
Good evening.
Thank you all for hanging in there with us. We enjoy the company. Dan, so give us some information regarding the past due water sewer bills. I've recently saw something, actually, I think it was last week when I was away on vacation, and some pretty alarming past due amounts that I thought we had grabbed hold of on this a very long time ago. There's 10 particular past due accounts which are seriously past due, and I think in one case in the hundreds of thousands of dollars or in a couple of cases. So tell us how did that get so far out of control, and what are we going to do about it going forward?
Well, I think the person, and I'm not deferring to her, but as Kyla Jones was the key person, the key contact person on all those delinquents as far as with all the information. I can tell you that I can speak specifically to a couple of them, particularly the one I call 1245 Wall Hill Road. And the reason I'm saying it publicly, because it has been mentioned publicly, so I feel comfortable speaking about it. It's been an ongoing issue for the last couple of years with the tenant who owns the plaza there and with Target. And there's been a dispute between the tenant and they were formerly a landlord before Target became separately owned. And that was number one in terms of who owed what in there, because it's what we call a master meter, the one meter that would feed the entire complex. And it's an issue of dividing the water sewer usage, if you will, sewer usage based on obviously water reads. And they've been in ongoing discussions and probably disagreement, because I wasn't at the table with them, but And that was number one. And number two, there's been a problem with, and this is from our end that we've been heavily involved with, there's been a problem with that meter pit.
With what, please?
A meter pit that's out in front on Ball Hill Road, without getting into every detail. But the long and short of it is it's nearly 20 feet deep. It's something I can tell you, if it was on my watch, never would have been allowed in terms of how it was constructed. And it's flooded periodically. It's resulted in poor readings on heads with meters. We've replaced them a few times. And then on top of it, we tested the meter just about a year ago, less than a year ago. And we found out that the meter was under-registering. So there's a number of factors that have gone into why they didn't pay. And a business person who you're familiar with, Mike, in our office, we put together an estimate based on prior usage when everything was accurate, because in my opinion, based on my experience, the usage is consistent with that plaza, irregardless of who uses the water, because the tenants are the same, there isn't irrigation, there's no seasonal usage, so to speak. So we did put together a bill for them, and they did not pay at the time. So there's a lot of factors that are going on. But to answer your question, the long and short of it is, just this past week, our people, I was on vacation for a couple of days, met with, and this isn't something that's been ignored, because let me back up for a second. I've been out there numerous times. Our staff has been out there numerous times. There were issues with booster pumps, who fed who was responsible for how the water was going to be allocated, you know, what I said before. And that was finally determined. What's happening from this point on is the meter that was in the pit that we've had this problem, ongoing problem with inaccurate reads, and in my opinion, and I can prove it, that under-registering. You know, so in fact, I think they're going to owe even more money, that we're going to relocate meters to the inside of Target and the balance of the plaza, and they're both going to receive separate bills. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the time since they last paid, and we're going to take like a 30-day read, and we're going to prorate it, if you will, over that time. And that's how it's going to be paid. So it isn't a matter of how did it get there. I'm just trying to give you some of the background. There's been a host of issues going on with that. That's the major one, to be honest with you.
So that's one issue, but there's...
I'm not familiar with all the others, to be honest with you, and I'm not being evasive with it.
Well, the reason I'm asking, Dan, is because I have received numerous calls and comments from people saying that, and while I support the water shutoff program, as you know, I was basically the founder of that entire process. The question is, why, if I don't pay a water bill, you know, for a couple hundred dollars, you get my house put up on the auction block, but yet these companies or these other larger users of water, they've been allowed to go for 2 or 3 years and amassing tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of use. And this isn't just something that's happened over the past year, year and a half. This has been amassed over the past 3 or 4 years, and in some cases, even further. But yet, here we are, we fast forward to when together we also worked on that committee with many other people that are still here in the city. And we've certainly gained miles on the problem, but I guess the frustration from the everyday people who are paying those $200 or $300 bills or getting in trouble for not paying them, they're saying, wait a minute, how is it these other companies are allowed to get to this point of indebtedness without somebody dropping a hammer on them?
I agree, but I can speak to a couple of them that there is a solution at hand with them, and there were valid reasons for them. But I can tell you, if somebody else came forward or was a council person or a person on the street or whatever, then they had an issue with it. It's something that we would look at. And we would be, they would be treated this in the same fashion. I can tell you in the last week, just with the list, we probably have shut off probably another 70 to 80 people in the last month or so, you know. But I can tell you, if I personally have intercepted some of them where I know there were some issues that were going on, and it was a matter of making a phone call to somebody. It wasn't favoritism or anything, and we don't play that game, you know. But I understand where you're coming from, where there were issues, where there was a change of ownership or the billing address or whatever, you know, where you don't
sure.
want to, you don't want to shut down a large plaza or a medical facility on the case that was last week. But I fully appreciate what you're saying too.
So Dan, I'm going to ask you this evening, and I don't want to I don't want to do this through a resolution or an ordinance. I'm just going to ask you if, with your reports, if you could include that. I'm not looking for names. I'm not looking to embarrass anyone or put anybody on the front page of any of the newspapers or anything. But in terms of numbers, you know, here's what we have. We have this amount, that amount, this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that we can be updated quarterly as
that's
to
fine.
The progress that's being made. I'm not looking for names. I'm not looking to embarrass anybody. This is a financial issue.
And the reason I made reference to one of the accounts specifically, because it has been made public.
It is.
And that's why that's why I spoke about it.
So I'm requesting that you include that in your report.
That's fine.
Quarterly. Like I said, I'm not going to do it in a resolution or an ordinance. I'm just going to do it as...
Because I have one right here that was just run, but we could... belabor the point, but
I understand
where you're coming
you.
From. I'd be more than happy to give like a synopsis of where we're at in terms of accounts and past due and so forth and so on. And
thank you.
I can fully appreciate where you're coming from, because I knew that was going to be the question coming up.
Councilman Qualley.
Dan, can you educate me concerning number four in your report? What is the 102 aqueduct line? Is it and what does it do?
That's the 102 inch aqueduct is the major supply line for the majority of the Providence water supply system. And they have had eminence that originates from the plant in Scituate and feeds all the wholesale customers. And they've had, to be very frank, some major issues over the last 10 years. And they're experiencing this issue as we speak, where they've had to shut that down, and they've had to reroute or reroute water to us to make repairs under 295, repairs under rivers and bridges and so forth. And if you recall, as a resident, I know you weren't involved like you are now, back in the 90s, there was a major break over off Oak Lawn Avenue, and that was the 102-inch aqueduct. And there was a point there where almost the entire wholesale system, and when I say wholesale system, I'm talking Warwick, Kent County, Lincoln, Smithfield, all of the rim, East Providence, was going to be without water. That's why I can't emphasize enough when I come up here and I talk about infrastructure and the problems that we have and what we need to address, it's real. It's real, and they're addressing it. And I made reference to the aqueduct being put back in service in July, while I received the call over the last few weeks that it's not back in service. Unfortunately, there's duplication of the provision of water, if you will, and, you know, by Providence, that we can still receive the water that we need to receive. So it's a massive line that feeds most of the residents in the state, one of the feeds. So
Dan, I think there was a water, you had texted me today, there's a water main break.
A service for a house. Six houses affected.
Six houses?
That's it.
Okay. And where was that? That was out in the street?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And that was just an infrastructure breakdown? You've talked about this before, but it's important that we talk about it so we understand the significance of it. But how old were the pipes that broke? When were they placed there?
I'm going to say mid to late 60s.
Beechwood Avenue. Yeah. Is that considered relatively new for water?
In some neighborhoods, yes. We have pipes that go back to the 30s and 40s in this system. Old cast iron pipe. One of the lines that ruptured under Route 95 is dates back to the 40s.
And you had mentioned this...
Not under 95, but near 95. Let me clarify that.
You had mentioned this before, but as far as infrastructure improvements, what are you estimating for the cost to bring the infrastructure up? Was it $160 million?
I don't know if I gave that figure. I mean, it's all the tea in China, we couldn't pay for it.
All the tea in China, we couldn't pay for it. So what are we looking at for costs there?
You're looking at the value of the system, what the assessed value of it is now, the depreciated value, the replacement value. I know as of about 10 years ago was in the neighborhood of about $150 to $170 million.
That was 10 years ago pricing?
Yeah.
So it's got to be up over 200, I would think.
I would say so, too. That would be the entire system. That's replacement value.
So you're looking at?
A lot of money.
And what's the useful life expectancy of those pipes?
Based on American Water Works standards and Rhode Island Department of Health standards, if you will, because we have to prepare an infrastructure plan every 10 years and five-year updates, which we're due to submit. You're looking at, depending on the location, and the 50 to 75 years is your typical useful life. For
how many years is useful life?
50 to 75 years, depending on the conditions of where the pipe is. Piping, I should say.
And so some of those pipes were in the 30s, so they had to be placed in the 80s. When was the last time that we put pipe in the ground in a significant, what's the newest development, if you will, that has pipe in the ground? That
Most of the replacement upgrading that took place was in the 90s and early 2000s.
In the 90s.
We had some bond money that was available. We had a thriving, on a cash basis, infrastructure fund, a renew and replacement fund, which we need to replenish.
So does part of your projects for water replacement also have to do with managing storm water runoff so it doesn't run off a pipe or go through a storm management pipe that leads out into the bay or a stream so that it doesn't degrade the area around the pipes where you're running?
Not necessarily, not directly, if you will, but indirectly in coordination with other agencies, of course. We're looking at the infrastructure and where it is, and if it has to be relocated, upgraded, we look at all those issues.
So, for example, if storm management needed to be upgraded and you had pipes in that area and the ground was open, that would be...
Positively, it makes sense, whether it's National Grid, stormwater management, whatever. Whatever utilities are in the area, but again, it comes down to funding.
Yeah. Well, I just know that Mr. DePasquale had mentioned he has $3 million in stormwater money that he had talked about earlier, and I was just wondering how that applies or how we could take advantage of...
Well, water, like sewer, is an enterprise fund. We're theoretically, independent of...
Correct. But the idea is to dovetail and to do those projects at the same time. So if you can coordinate project, if you don't use it just for paving, but you use it for water and drainage as it was intended when it was voted, then you'd be in a situation where maybe you could dovetail off your projects. What percentage of the system, in your opinion, right now has reached its useful life expectancy?
I would say half.
So 50%?
I would say so. That's pretty accurate.
How many years do we reach 75%, for example? How many years before the useful life expectancy?
So, say that again, if you could
repeat. Sure. You mentioned 50% of the infrastructure needs to be replaced today. It's reached its useful life expectancy.
Correct.
What's the percentage? How many years do we have before we say 75% of that infrastructure needs to be replaced.
10 to 15?
10 to 15, yes.
And again, that's all just based on best recollection of statistics and reports that we've had to submit.
And you said you don't have any more bond money?
No.
Okay, so...
The last bond that we had was in 1994. Okay. And it was only a small amount.
So what are we looking at as far as this year replacing pipes? Do you have any money that you're using to replace pipes in the system this year?
Right now, the finance department is looking at the availability of funds for us to see what's in our...
The finance department is...
You know, what would be available in our infrastructure fund.
The city.
Correct.
The city finance department.
Correct.
Is looking at bond funding?
No, not bond funding. What would be available that we were able to replenish some of the funds, the renewal and replacement infrastructure fund. That would be on a cash basis. So... But as far as...
So right now, as we sit here today, unless we find some money within the city coffers, we don't have any plans to replace any infrastructure?
Anything on a wholesale, a large-scale basis, no. We don't have the funding for it, too.
So do you have any money in your budget this year to replace pipes?
Well, we're looking at about $1 million we have in our capital fund.
$1 million?
We budgeted about, again...
Did you spend that last year, $1 million?
No, we did not. No, we did not. You know,
you didn't. You budgeted it last year also, but you didn't spend it.
No, you're not able to do it. But everything is based on year-end results.
Right.
And being independent and not part of the tax base, if you don't have it, you don't spend it.
Absolutely.
You know, and that
I
may
just,
sound
you know,
politically
at some point in time,
that, but it's a reality. You know?
Right.
So
at some point, I remember a few years ago, you had a water main breakdown. What was it, Hoxie, Four Corners area, where it was a main, maybe it was Walk Avenue, it was a main line that ran from Providence, and you folks had to fix it. So we've already had a sewer line collapse. We're talking about being able to manage money going forward. We're not paying even 1% of the $100 million that's, you know, if that's 50% of $200 million. And the infrastructure continues to get older and older and older and older. And you have to come up with a plan. I'm not saying you, I'm saying us.
Correct.
We need to come up with a plan to replace this infrastructure because it's going to fail. And you're not. And if you have a major failure in the city, then people are going to be without water. And I just don't see a plan in place, you know, bonding or whatever else to fix that issue. I noticed in your report, too, that you mentioned about the development of a pension statement program.
No.
Or maybe I get the wrong report.
No.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong report. Sorry about that. In my notes. But while we're on the subject of pensions, your pensions are through the City of Warwick?
Correct.
And does the water department contribute to?
If you look in our audit, you look at, say, the 18 audit.
Yeah.
The 17-18 audit, if you look in there, you'll, I believe, and Brian can either validate this, I believe, I know, it's in there as far as the OPEB amount and the pension portion, if you will.
But there's no OPEB money going from the water department to fund OPEB.
It's in there as a liability.
As a liability,
but not
as a contribution.
I don't believe so, but don't hold me to it.
Just to refresh everybody's recollection, you're a separate autonomous body. You raise your own revenue and spend your own revenue.
Mm-hmm. And I can also say, too, that I believe this administration is committed. You know, there's been a lot of issues, obviously, on the table that they've had to deal with in this mayor. But they're committed to improving and replacing infrastructure. There will be a plan.
Yeah.
This will not be something where we're going to sit around or there for another 15 or 20 years and just hope for the best and hope nothing breaks.
It's just another piece that fits in the puzzle when you're looking at five-year plans.
Correct.
And projections, which is what we're trying to get a handle on. And I don't think infrastructure improvements are in the five-year plan. But what I'm suggesting that we have in front of us tonight, but what I'm suggesting is they should be. Maybe I should ask our accountants to update that based on the information that we received today. Because that needs to be in our five-year plan, and it's not. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you for coming, Dan.
Okay. Thank you.
Who's up next? Eric with engineering.
Hello, Eric Hendinger from the Department of Public Works to present the quarterly stormwater report and to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. I had a few, Eric. With regard to the up-to-date, are we up-to-date with regard to the deadline submission for the city's annual report on the city's stormwater management, the MS4 program?
At this time, we're not. I'm about 60% complete with the project. I have to carve out, or with the report, I have to carve out some time to be able to complete that report.
And when was it due to DEM?
March 1st.
March 1st of this year?
March 10th, I'm sorry, yes.
Okay. And how long are you anticipating before you get it to DEM?
Like I said, I probably need about another week to complete the project, to complete the report.
And that's the stormwater management report, correct?
Yes, the annual report.
Okay. Correct. Can you tell us what is in that report, what DEM asks for?
Basically, it's reporting on what we've done over the year as far as several items, as far as street sweeping, cleaning catch basins. There are, you know, obviously it's pretty significant. It's a 24-page report.
You're talking to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's a 24-page report. So it's pretty in-depth that we have to go through it and complete it, basically going through with what we've done over the year.
Talks about infrastructure improvements?
Somewhat more stormwater quality issues than infrastructure.
Well, you need to improve them? How to improve them?
Correct, yes.
Bond money that you might need to improve stormwater management?
Actually, it doesn't talk about bond money at all.
Oh, well, you need money to make the improvements, right? You have a $3 million bond. I mean, you could use that.
Correct.
Once you get your report due. Mm-hmm. And so, bear with me, Eric. I got a couple of questions for you. Is the city in compliance with the consent agreement between the city and DEM, which primarily deals with the DEM required city stormwater program?
At this time, we're probably a little lagging behind a little bit on that report. On the compliance, there are many items that we'll have to catch up with.
And what do you need to catch up with?
Well, there's several items that need to be addressed with regards to the consent. I don't have all the details with me right now, but we do have to catch up with that. There are some items as far as one being the stormwater report, other items such as infrastructure improvements, some small areas where we have to do some improvements that we agreed upon at the time of the consent decree.
How much money are we spending this year, in this fiscal year, for our municipal stormwater program, and what's it going to be used for?
I believe there's $100,000 dedicated to that.
And what are you going to use?
Excuse me?
What are you going to use it for?
Well, a lot of it, at this time, we'll still have to like if you look in item number four, public outreach, that was something that we had used some of the money for last year. I have to put out another bid to do that and stuff. And as far as that goes, we also have to comply with our testing requirements. We're trying to keep that going. As far as that, Crossman Engineering has done some stormwater quality testing in certain areas, dry weather and wet weather testing. So that may be something we have to continue doing that as well. So.
Okay, and DEM's issued the wetlands permit for Bucky Brook Restoration Project. Does the city have all construction money in hand for the Bucky Brook Restoration Project?
We don't know what the cost is going to be for that project. Right now, DEM has issued the permit. The Army Corps of Engineers is currently reviewing the project. Normally, this is done concurrently with a DEM review, but for some reason, it's changed a bit. Again, this is something that I really haven't dealt with much, these type of projects. But my understanding is that normally DEM reviews the project, it gets approved, and Army Corps I wouldn't say rubber stamps it, but goes along with their decisions. There's been some changes, I believe, at the Army Corps, and they are doing a review themselves of the project. So we're waiting to hear back from them so that we can put it out to bid and see if we do have enough money for that project.
So you don't know how much money you need for the Bucky Brook Restoration Project?
No, we wouldn't know that until we bid it out.
And when is the project scheduled to begin?
Scheduled to be done?
Begin.
Begin. It has a late summer, early spring start because of the timing of the spraying of the Phragmite and then the Bucky run as well. So that's what we'd have to be looking at it to start hopefully next late next summer, early fall, and then continue through until the early winter, probably. Hopefully finished up in December.
And when are you planning on going out to bid for that?
Like I said, we still need to get the final approval from the Army Corps now, and then we can go out to bid for that.
And so, when are you anticipating that?
I have no idea. Again, this is something that's kind of out of the ordinary, and I haven't run into this situation.
Okay. And could you use some of the $3 million for the bond from stormwater management bond?
I'm not quite sure with that because it's not really a drainage. It's kind of a wetland restoration project, so I'm not sure if that really coincides with it. The money we were proposing to use was from CDBG, from flood hazard funds.
So matching funds required?
Nope. It's money that the community development has, a block grant actually from Sandy, from that money there, and hopefully that'll be able to cover the project.
So, but you don't know what the cost is?
No.
Okay. Yes, Councilman Howe.
Going back to Bucky Brook, correct me if I'm wrong, because a lot's been going on, but when we had the woman consultant come in from the company, she said start August, done by latest October.
Correct. In that vicinity, yes. So yeah, that would be that's what we'd hope to do, but we didn't have the approval in time to do that this year. So we're hoping that'll continue next year, and that'll be done next year.
Okay, again, I'm going to go back, and believe me, I'm not saying, please don't think I'm, because I could be confused, but mm-hmm. I specifically remember saying, is there any holdup? And she said, no, we're on. I said, so this will be done. She said, yes. So you're telling me that that project will not be done this year?
No, it will not. We missed the window. The approval from DEM did not come through in time, and then also we have this additional Army Corps of Engineers approval. So we couldn't, we officially don't have approval to start the project. So we've already missed the window. So it has to start, it would basically have to start right now and be done. We'd still have to go out to bid for the project too, and that's difficult to do without knowing all the parameters.
I'm so sorry, Eric, I'm so confused because everything you're saying now contradicts everything that was said in that presentation.
Again, I don't know that that's true. We you know, obviously it's all dependent on the approval time that DEM took with it. They had told us originally that the approval period would be 10 to 12 months. It actually turned out to be more like 14 months. So that's what kind of is causing the holdup.
So because Bucky Brook, and I forget, was it dredging that we were looking at, or just Phragmite-y, like?
No, both.
Yeah.
We're hoping to do both, yes.
So we need, not only do we need it from RIDEM, we then need to go ahead and get permission from the Corps of Engineers?
Correct.
We missed the window on that because DEM took too long. Do we have a recourse now? Because if Bucky Brook continues plugging up Warwick Pond, Warwick Pond, since I've been in, has been backed up into people's property and overflowing and ruining our infrastructure as well as ruining private property. So what's our recourse with RIDEM, or is this their natural, normal procedure of just saying, la-di-da, we're late, whatever, who cares?
I'm not qualified to answer that question as far as what type of recourse we have.
That's true, and I'll withdraw it. I apologize. Nope. So, as far as we're concerned right now, when is the start time, or what is going to be our next canceled start time?
I wouldn't say that. Now we have almost a whole year to get the project properly bid and ready to go at this time next year. So that would be the start time that we're aiming for right now.
Eric, I understand you're answering questions I'm asking, and I thank you. This is not directed towards you, but come on, you know, not you. But I am just absolutely blown away as soon as you told the council president that we're looking at another start time and this, that, there. So now it's another year.
Unfortunately, yes.
So you understand we have a group of very concerned, patient...
I do, and they're aware of it also. I've had discussions with most of the people there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is utterly disappointing that... But so you're saying that everything Warwick was required to do, it has done?
Yes.
And the held-up was the 14-month procedure at DEM?
Correct.
Then, Eric, I thank you, and I thank everyone involved in the process. Thank you for doing your job. Thank you for taking care of the citizens. And on the record, Mr. President, shame on RIDEM.
Councilman Howe, I didn't hear it the same way that you did. I heard it that the city missed the deadline to submit what they needed to submit. So if you're telling me that you submitted everything that you needed to. First of all, when did you know that the deadline was blown? When did you know that the deadline was blown?
When did I know the deadline was
blown? Yeah, that's what you said. The deadline was blown. That's what you said.
The approval from DEM was beyond the period where we could get it out to bid properly.
Fine. When did you know that?
We probably in July.
Okay. And when did you tell any of the council members that the representations that were made to them weren't going to come to fruition, that it was going to be, as Councilman Howe said, done in August?
I said it right now.
So no one was, if we didn't have this meeting tonight, they wouldn't have known.
Well, I was supposed to present this last month.
I didn't see it in your report.
You didn't?
That it was blown, and that it was...
Right, that time it was touch and go still when I made this report, but unfortunately, it didn't work out.
Councilman Rex.
Has the DEM recently changed its timelines on this sort of project, or has it generally kept the same timelines for the last several years?
Well, again, they projected a 10 to 12 month period on this. I don't know why it took this long. They've been going through some changes themselves with personnel and whatnot, so that could have had a factor in it. I don't know exactly why. It's a pretty significant project, and you know we're trying to move forward with it. But it is an important project. It's significant, and DEM wanted to make sure they had everything right on it. So. I would imagine that's why they took as much time as they did.
Have they changed their timelines and deadlines since the last time that this sort of project was done? I want to say about 8 years ago.
I've never been involved in a project like this. Well, I've been here at the city, so I can't answer that question for you.
Okay. The information I have is that DEM has had these same sorts of deadlines. I'm not sure if they follow the exact days, but generally speaking, it's all based on the season, based on the fish runs, based on, you know, the seasons of the plant growth and so on. So these sorts of deadlines, they really shouldn't be sneaking up on us. And this isn't meant to criticize and point the finger and all of that, because that's the past. But I mean, these are the sorts of deadlines that, to the best of my knowledge, they're not being changed very much, if at all, year to year. So good to just, you know, look at it far enough out that we don't miss any windows with due to bidding periods and the like. And then if a bidding period comes up, or rather a deadline sneaks by and a bidding period seems like it would be pushing us to the brink, then, you know, there's also things that we as a city can do to try to move up those bidding processes as a matter of emergencies. Thank you.
Yes, Councilman Sinapi. Councilman Sinapi had his hand up first.
Just a quick note. Obviously, I'm glad to see that the Central Ave and Knight Street issue is resolved, at least on the city's end. Do we know what the ETA is for the developer, Pontiac Mills, for them doing their part?
No, I will have to reach out to them. But they were aware that we had completed our portion of it. I talked to the one of the representatives of the Mills at when we were doing the project. So they do know that it's done, and I'll have to follow up with them to see when they can get it done.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Councilman Lattisa.
Eric, to follow up on this conversation here with the stormwater stuff, is this the same project that came before the council? It was actually under the Scott Avedisian administration, and DEM had given the city a certain time frame to get all of these things completed. This is all one and the same project, right?
The storm, yes.
Right.
The consent decree, yes.
And I recall, this is before the majority of the colleagues that are sitting here tonight were on the council, I remember that conversation distinctly because there was a significant amount of pressure being put on the city to get this done, because essentially the city for however 7, 8, 9 years just basically ignored the demands of DEM on the stormwater management stuff. This might have even been before you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're hearing now that, let me back up. So what is the drop-dead date that we received from DEM to get this entire project completed?
I do not have that information. There were several dates, deadlines for certain projects that we, you know, that we to move forward with. So there are some.
2020?
I believe so, some of them, yes.
Right, 2020. I think where most of this, if not all of it, needs to be completed.
Correct.
So now, to go to Councilman Howell's point, and we're just learning about this lapse of compliance for whatever reason, who is the person or persons at DEM that you've been having these communications with? Who is the person that we can pick up the phone and call to DEM and ask the questions of them that we need to ask? Which would be the person that you or persons you've been working with, mm-hmm, that for whatever reason didn't come across with whatever you needed to do?
It would be the Office of Compliance and Inspection.
No, I don't want to call for compliance inspections. I want to talk to the person.
Right. I'll get that information for you, Councilman. I can't think of his name right now off the top of my head.
Okay. So if you could get that information to all of us.
Sure.
Because this is something that affects all of our wards. Mm-hmm. And I'm particularly concerned that we're being told here this evening that we missed the deadline and we're a year off track, but we don't seem to have the rhyme or reason for how all that occurred. So I want to see the whole travel of events that led to where we are now. In your presentation, item three, you're talking about cleaning and inspections of stormwater infrastructure, stormwater drains, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
What is the process of documenting the drains that you have cleaned and the ones you haven't cleaned, when they were cleaned, when they need to be rechecked or whatever? What's the process?
Well, basically, the catch basin cleaning crew has been going out and they're doing that, and they fill out a inspection report every time they clean a catch basin, and they submit that to the department.
So, do you have a list of the locations of where all the catch basins are in the city?
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Okay. So you also have a list of, you just said, the ones that have been cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a particular process or location or area that the crews go in to do this?
We were having areas where they were going down and moving methodically, but again, that gets broken up when we do have emergencies and they have to go out to different things where you know there's backups and whatnot. So, but they were specifically going in certain areas, Oakland Beach and around Warwick Pond, initially to try and take care of those issues because they were considered critical sites at the time.
I'm asking this because I called a location in. It was probably 2 weeks ago or so, and the storm drain was filled completely to the top with sand and bottles and whatever else have you. And to DPW's credit, they get out there, it was like actually I think the next day, and got it taken care of. But when I read your report, it makes me start to wonder, you know, is this a methodical process
Unfortunately, there are more catch basins. We're supposed to clean. They would like us to clean the catch basins once a year. Unfortunately, we don't have the manpower or the equipment to do that.
When you say they would like us, that's
the DM.
Is it a requirement or a request?
It is a requirement in their report, yes. Unfortunately, we do our best what we can do to take care of that. There are over 5,000 catch basins in the city.
5,000.
And we have one truck when it's working to do that, so, and that crew goes out. And again, there's emergencies and those types of things. Weather plays a factor into it. So it's difficult to actually keep up with that schedule.
And having said that, and being a DEM requirement, are there any grant monies available to perhaps offset some of the costs or buy some equipment?
Not that I know of right now. But there are some opportunities at points to do that, I would imagine.
You speak to, in your report, repairing sinkholes in different areas and rectifying ponding issues at an intersection. I'm sure all of us sitting here tonight have issues with ponding, wetland runoffs into streets, flooding out streets. I know I've sent several locations to the department with photographs, et cetera, of those very problems. Drainage trenches that have become significant problems. What's your process for dealing with those? How does DPW set a priority from this particular section of road is flooding out in front of somebody's driveway because the city tarred the road and has created this pond in front of this particular person's home, and wetlands overflowing into another street, flooding the road out. Mm-hmm. How do you prioritize those?
Well, some of the issues like like you said, some of the ponding that's caused by the paving, sometimes those are nuisance puddles that get pushed aside somewhat because the thing, we try to deal more with things where people are actually having property loss and trying to determine what's best for that. So that basically it's the severity of the problem which takes precedent.
So the best thing for us to do is just keep submitting our requests for these areas that we're experiencing these problems, or as we
Correct.
Find out about them, send them on down to you guys. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Mr. President.
Yes.
I apologize. Can I, so obviously we're being listened to. I got this email from a Chuck Hobart. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it
does. R-I-D-E-M?
Yes.
On July 19th, which is a Friday, he sent an email to members of DEM and concerned members of the community, including yourself. FYI, attaches a copy of the permit being issued today for the above-referenced project. Please contact Nancy Freeman with any questions. Then it was a gentleman from DOT said, thank you, and then it goes on to Phil DeUrkel, who is the facilitator of Warwick Ponds. The permit, he sent a question to you. Mm-hmm. And he said the permit for Buckeye Brook Restoration Project has been approved. This was July 19th. DPW has given us a schedule for this project to be started and completed. Thank you. DPW, please give us, I apologize, please give us a schedule for this project to be started and completed. I then get the follow-up today. The permit has been issued for the project 30 days ago. We request that the schedule be developed very soon with dates and milestones for this project. It is extremely important to the Warwick residents that are being affected for this project not to be without oversight. Please respond. Thank you. So I assume from a month ago he did not receive a response.
I believe I did respond to Mr. DeUrkel. As a matter of fact, I even spoke to him at the last council meeting up here and discussed the situation. And I think I did send a follow-up to Mr. DeUrkel prior to that via email. But if I didn't, I did speak to him in the foyer at the last meeting.
So I'm going to ask you again if you can clarify the permit. You said DEM took 14 months. My understanding was but you didn't have enough time. This is for my clarification. You didn't have a. But if you did send the or if you did say, well, hold on. I'll let you catch a breath before you roll your eyes at me. Are we good?
We'll see.
Because I think I'm being very respectful.
Sure.
And I certainly don't like having someone roll their eyes at me when I'm trying to get answers.
I apologize.
Phil DeUrkel, you said you did talk to him.
Correct.
Today's email indicates he didn't get an indication of that. So what my next question would be, and I'm trying to clarify, you're saying that by the time you got this, you needed DEM permit first.
Correct.
Once you got the permit, even though we have a consultant, you then had to go out to bid for the project
Correct.
To be done. So we couldn't bid for the project prior to DEM permit because then they have a guideline to go by. Correct?
The DEM gives us the requirements for the permit. There's some requirements that are in there. So we had to make sure we had everything in there so that we could properly bid the project. So now we have a consultant on board and we have to bid the project to get a construction consultant to do the work. And technically the project is not approved because Army Corps of Engineers need to approve it. They kind of changed that up on it. So we couldn't go to construction if we had everything in place right now because we don't have a full permit. We have the DEM portion of it done. We still need the Army Corps. And what I think Mr. DeUrkel would like to know is what is actually going the process, what we're planning to do. And I've had discussions with him regarding that. So we have to get our full approval, then we can go out to bid for the construction of the project, which will obviously come in front of you for approval once we, because now, so it's we from July, we would have to prepare bid specs, even if that was the approval. we wouldn't have been able to properly bid the project, make a recommendation and get it to the council for this council meeting, because it would have had to have been approved. The construction project would have been approved at this meeting prior to going to construction for next week. So that was impossible to do.
You're right. So, because, and again, I'm doing this for clarification and understanding,
yep,
because the time to get this done, there's only a certain window environmentally.
Correct.
To get this done.
Correct.
Okay. And I do know that they are having a meeting, and if that's what he's asking, I can clarify with them. But I also know they're having a meeting, and I'm sure this will come up and be discussed.
Right.
I believe Wednesday.
Right. And I did talk to Mr. Durkel, and I'm 90% sure that I did send him an email based on that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
And I apologize.
All right. Thank you.
I didn't mean it.
Councilman Ricks and then Councilman Qualley.
I would welcome that.
Councilman Qualley.
In reading your report that was written on July 2nd, you say that on this project that the public notice was closed and the Rhode Island DEM is in the process of preparing the final conditions for the project. I've heard Councilman Howe say that they issued something on July 29th, but...
19th.
July 19th.
19th?
Correct.
Okay. One thing that's missing in your oral presentation, you told us it's all contingent on getting the approval from the Army Corps of Engineers as well as DEM?
Correct. Again, this is something that came up. It's not, I guess... Again, we don't do these projects every day, but according to my consultant, this is not the normal process. Again, the Army Corps, normally the Army Corps of Engineers will approve it with the DEM approval.
Okay.
From what I've been told. So this is new to me. Unfortunately, there's been some changes in the Army Corps, so that could be the reason for this change in process.
I understand that. Is that information that you received after July 2nd when you wrote this, and is that why there's no mention of the Army Corps of Engineers in the...
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It was after we received the approval that we found that it was determined that the Army Corps was going to review it as well.
I understand, and I understand the series of events that led up to it, and unfortunately, the backing up of some of our last council meeting, none of this came out. But I don't know if even on July 15th you were aware of it.
I didn't. Right. The approval came out on the 19th, okay. So a lot of this information might not have been there. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what our consultant has been doing to assist us in going through the project to try to make sure the go-aheads were received from the correct government agencies, both DEM and the Army Corps of Engineers. So I guess there's a breakdown in communication among all the people that are participating to get the job done. So that is something that I guess we need to work on improving.
Right. I think even DEM was a little surprised that the Army Corps was going to do it as a separate independent review.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Eric, did you just learn this evening about the permit being issued that Councilman Howe spoke about?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
July 19th, was the email he was referring to.
Okay. Yep. And you said further that you're still waiting for the Army Corps of Engineers to give their blessing to this.
Correct.
When was the last time that you have reached out to the Army Corps of Engineers requesting this blessing?
I did not. Bill Vicente made a call to them because there's some paperwork that he has to prepare for the change. for the funding. So he's got to prepare another report for them. And he spoke to the gentleman from the Army Corps of Engineers.
So yeah. You have not spoken to him?
I have not, no.
So do we not have the blessing from the Army Corps of Engineers because they're still waiting for additional information from us?
No, my understanding is they're reviewing the project that was approved by DEM, and they'll comment on it if they have any comments. So I don't get
what the issue is of Bill Facenti and money and whatever then.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that he reached out. He spoke to the gentleman at the Army Corps. I have not.
But he spoke to them about money.
Correct.
You would be speaking to them about where the hell is our approval?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you spoke to them asking them for where is our approval?
I have not.
You have not?
No.
So has anyone from the city reached out to the Army Corps and asked them if there's anything more they're waiting for? Is there any more information they need, any more documentation? Or, hey, guys, what's the holdup? Why don't we have this? We're under a guideline with DEM or requirements from DEM. Anybody?
This is separate from that portion of the project. It has nothing to do with the requirements of DEM. We're trying to comply with the wetlands approval. This is.
I understand. Separate. I'm tying it into DEM because DEM issued the permit on July 19th.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm tying it into that. You said you couldn't move forward with anything, even with that permit, because the Army Corps of Engineers hadn't given you the blessing. And that's why I'm asking you the question. If I want a blessing from someone, I'm going to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need to get this done. Where is my blessing? That's what I'm asking. Did anyone from the city, you said you have not. My question
Correct.
Is, did anyone else, has anyone, is anyone responsible for reaching out to the Army Corps of Engineers to find out if there's anything more they need? Is there any other documents, finances, bells, whistles, shovels that they need to approve this program so that his project can get completed?
At this time, no, Councilman.
Nobody.
No.
So we have no idea.
Again, they've had it for about a month to review.
I see.
So I can put a call into them. Again, we've unfortunately missed a window of opportunity to get the project done this year.
And that's what I'm trying to get down to the nitty gritty as to why did we miss it? How did we miss it?
Because of the review period. That it took DEM, I would imagine.
And this Chuck Holbert, he's the one that is the one responsible for the review period?
Well, the department, there's several departments that had to review the project.
And this Chuck Holbert happens to be one of them?
Right, correct. Okay. Chuck was probably the lead on the project, so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Eric. Just so we're clear, you submitted your plans in June of 2018.
Correct.
Before you submitted your plans, DEM told you it would take them about a year.
10 to 12 months.
Which is what they did.
And
let me just finish. And you knew you needed time to go out and get bids, etc. The other thing that you told us tonight is that you didn't know how much the project would cost. And when you came before us to talk about how much the project would cost, you had estimated $800,000.
Correct.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you still estimate $800,000?
Yes, but again, until we actually bid it, we won't know the cost of the project.
And what line item is the $800,000 coming from?
It's coming from the grant money from CDBG that we talked about earlier.
Okay. And does that grant money have an expiration date?
It does not, that I know of. It does not, that I know of.
Okay. Is there any other questions?
Just one, Mr. President.
Yes.
If I could, the name of the consultant who came to us and did the presentation, please, and the company.
Name?
Yes, please.
Yeah, Ashley Tice. From environmental, from EA Engineering.
T-I-S-E?
T-Y-C-E.
Thank you. From, and what is it?
EA Engineering.
EA Engineering. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chief, could you come up to the mic? I know the hour is getting late, and I know we have a couple other presentations, but Chief, my understanding is under unanimous consent that you have two items that you're trying to make deadlines on for grants, correct?
Correct.
Okay. If there's no objection to going to those two items for unanimous consent, is there any objection? If not, Chief, if you could present your first one, I believe it's a PCR 115-19, a resolution in support of City of Warwick local multi-hazard mitigation plan.
Certainly. So going back to last year, the award for the consultant at the HB was conducted. This is the five-year multi-hazard plan. This award, once in place, we began working with VHB. The Chief of Staff and Mayor directed me back in August to take the project up and ensure it gets done. What this multi-hazard plan does, it allows for conditions and requirements for both FEMA and some REMA grants. It allows us to prepare for areas that we've identified in the 171-page report with the assistance of VHB to look at hazards caused by weather events, et cetera. In preparation for prioritizing areas of concern. So that plan now sits, we've been through our public hearing portion, the steering committee's done. This resolution, if voted on tonight, allows us to submit it to REMA, then to FEMA, and then it would come back for a final vote before the council tonight, sir.
And this would help us plan for any natural disasters, in particular hurricanes.
Correct. It covers the weather events, a variety. It also talks about infrastructure. It's an extensive report, and it is progressive in that it allows us to look at something over several years, and including the last plan, things that may not have gotten completed fully. So it's a living plan. While it's that 5 year is not a deadline, it's a progressive plan. It's critical for the planning side of the house and the FEMA side of the house and some of our grant funds that would come through that.
Thank you. Is there any questions from council members? Councilman Sinapi?
Just one. Were the concerns raised in the public comment section addressed?
So we've received, during the actual public comment, there were none. We had two meetings where other members of the public showed up. Those have been documented in the report. And we have an email period that's still open through the end of the week. So as of right now, anything that did come up in previous meetings that the public was invited to, because they were all through the Secretary of State's office, have been included in the report. Unfortunately, there was not a lot of interest in the final public hearing section, but we do have addressed public concerns as it related to Councilman Sinapi.
Councilman Lattice.
I don't have any comments, Mr. President. I just recommend favorable action.
Okay. Seconded by Councilman Howe. Councilwoman Travis. Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll, and a yes is to approve.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattice?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
PCR 115-19 has been approved. Chief, if you could stay up there for PCR 116-19, a resolution relative to Police Department 2019. Is it Brian?
JAG. It's the JAG Burn Grant.
JAG Grant. Yes.
So
go ahead.
Just quickly, for the sake of time, going back to the budget hearings on May 28th, we referenced specifically Councilman Lattice talked about the JAG Burn. This is the annual award we got, and we talked about the numbers, how they had been consistently lowered. However, we also ran into some situations where the executive branch at the federal level had been blocking funds over previous years based upon some immigration issues, well above my pay grade, obviously. Those funds have been released based upon action in lawsuits in the Illinois, in the U.S. District Court there. As such, this application period opened without the restrictions requiring the immigration status. This resolution basically shows the support of the city in order for us to secure $15,533 in JAG Burn. That number has gone down. It was used to be in the $20,000 to $30,000 range. Just like a lot of these grants, they have gone down consistently, but this would allow us to secure that set amount. We've come up with a spending plan to utilize for training, equipment, to include some laptops, some tasers, some desktops, some things outside of the budget items to enhance our infrastructure, technology and training. So we have a spending plan, we have a committed amount. This resolution allows us to submit the application by the end of the week in order to meet that commitment that we talked about back on May 28th when we were here for the budget hearing before yourself, Mr. President, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman McAllister. On the grant note, I can also note that we also talked about how we were going to address grants moving forward. This week, we have two officers who will be attending the training in Roger Williams I referenced back in May. They're going to be dedicated, and we found people that have the interest and aptitude. So under the mayor and the chief of staff's direction, as we presented to the council back on May 28th, this is a continual step to continue to secure as much grant funding as possible to assist the city in its fiscal responsibilities.
And again, Chief, you said in particular you're looking at laptop computers?
So in this case, we're looking for NCASE training for two detectives. That NCASE is part of that forensic unit we talked about. Again, we're looking at detectives in the 5 to 6 year experience versus the 25 to 26 year, so we get the most bang for our buck. Looking for some laptops, one for accreditation and one for and a spare, so that we have one available, because right now when one goes down, we lose that capability. Not talking tablets, we're talking internal laptops for portable use. Two tasers as part of our normal 5 replacement. We could take 2 from our 5 and they basically get funded through this. And one desktop for our special operations group, our narcotics. They're working on a Windows 95 platform for their informant files. So these have been deprioritized in order because of the fiscal spending constraints, particularly the austerity budget. But this will allow us to get them up to speed without any taking budget lines items out.
When you say Windows 95, you mean the program from 1995?
Correct.
Do we still service that somehow?
We don't, and that's the problem. So,
and what's stored on that 1990?
It's informant files, so it's a separate NAR. So it's not like it's necessarily an operating. It's the basic operating system, and it's some things like that. But we're not maintaining it on part of the network. It has to be separate from the network because it contains all of our informant files, which are secured, obviously, independent of any network drive for security purposes.
So a list of people that assist you in... in crime.
And within that, vice, drugs, and organized crime side.
And that's never been moved over to...
We have some of it moved over, but again, because of the way the files were set up before. So we have some redundancy, but we would like to get a modern computer in there that has network capability along with the additional security.
Now, would MIS be purchasing that? That would go out to bid? Or?
That would be either part of the MPA if it's in place, or we go out to bid, correct?
And MIS, so all computer would be purchased through MIS.
All of this $15,533 would come back to you for approval.
Okay. Is there any other questions? No. Okay. Councilman Lassa.
No questions, Mr. President. Really good job, Colonel. And I would move favorable action.
Seconded.
Okay, and seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Any other discussion? A yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCI 116-19 stands approved.
Thank you.
So we've reached the 11:30 hour. Obviously, we would need unanimous consent to continue. Is anybody objecting to going past 11:30?
Mr. President?
Yes.
I'll support going past 11:30. I won't support going past midnight.
Well, that's... I just don't think we're... I think we're going to go past midnight. I mean, that... Yeah.
Right.
I just... You're going to object? All right. So we're going to stand in recess. I mean, we'll continue this to the next meeting, whatever's left, and we'll, if I could go to Councilwoman Travis to the, can I go to the docket session? Okay. All is in favor? Aye. All is opposed? So we move to the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket? Ward 1, Councilman Corley, anything to docket? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Yes, the state of Rhode Island reimbursed, I guess, reimbursement for Buckeye Brook commitment.
It's a resolution?
Yes, sir.
Committee? Intergovernmental. Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
I have one resolution, Mr. President. The resolution is in regards to the 2020 council calendar.
Intergovernmental. Councilwoman Travis.
Pass.
Councilman McAllister.
Pass.
And Ward 8.
Just one, titled Revisions to City of Warwick Claims Process.
That's intergovernmental also. And I have one resolution to docket, a resolution regarding actuarial services. And we'll stand in adjournment.
Finance.
And that'd be finance.